This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You walk in tired and hungry. One bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
But I have a special guest in studio who reached out, and I guess you'd come in here in the past. It's Dr. David Palmiter, a psychology professor over at Marywood University. Good morning.
Good morning, Jason. Thanks for having me.
Cool. I'm happy you're here. This is a super important deal. You guys are doing free depression screenings.
At both our campus on Marywood and at the Wright Center in German, all day on Thursday, we're going to be doing free and anonymous screens for depression and actually anxiety also.
Okay, because I saw an original email. Anxiety was in March or in April, right?
We focus on one in the fall and the other in the spring, but we kind of just do them both yeah, times.
I'm guessing that's a responsible thing to do, because if you come up with something, I guess, that isn't necessarily depression, you don't want to just say, come back in March.
Right, right.
I guess there's a responsibility factor that goes into this.
Yes.
And it's National Depression Screening Day.
On the 11th.
For anyone who is out there just going, well, how is this different from what you'd find if you just do a Google search for depression? How intricate does this get?
Well, when we look at the current science, Jason, we know that the rates of people not being treated for depression is staggering.
Yeah.
For instance, a couple of years ago in 2016, the rates for suicide in Pennsylvania went up by just over a third. So most people who suffer from depression don't get any kind of help for it. And that's about 16 million adults a year.
Man.
And it's the number one cause of disability across the world. So going alone at it doesn't seem to be working. Instead, one could come in and get a quick screen and see if further evaluation's warranted.
So if that happens, someone comes in, you go, wow, you actually check a lot of the boxes off here for depression. What happens then to them?
Well, we would give them a referral sheet and work with them on a good situation for them. Sometimes people think, oh, geez, if I'm not wealthy, I can't get care, or I have to have this kind of insurance or that kind of insurance, and none of that's true.
I know there's a lot of free places where you can go, or very low cost, at least.
Low cost, a clinic at Marywood, for instance.
Yeah.
I think the average fee there is about $5 a visit.
Oh, wow. Do they have doctors there that end up prescribing medicine if you need it?
Well, here's the thing about that.
I know that psychiatrists.
Psychiatrists do that. But many listeners have probably heard the statement that depression is a chemical imbalance in the brain.
Yeah.
There's zero scientific evidence to support that assertion.
Really?
That's something sold to the public. What so many people could benefit from who suffer from mood disorders is called cognitive behavioral therapy. It's a talking therapy. Certainly there are instances where medications augment, help, are necessary, but too many people out there are only receiving medication and have never even been given the choice of something like cognitive behavioral therapy. And often because the people who are in the position to give them that choice don't know about it themselves.
So, okay, so most people, what you're saying is that they go in, the doctor, whoever says, hey, we think you suffer from depression, and they go, take this, you'll be fine. And you're saying, that's not enough. I mean, that'll help you bridge the gap through a tough time, I'm guessing. Would you say that, at least?
What I would say to people is, here's your choices.
Yeah.
And here's what the science indicates would be most helpful given your situation. And in that discussion should certainly be talking therapy, specifically cognitive behavioral therapy.
Interesting.
Not just going in and ragging on your complaints of the week. It's a very structured, science-based treatment.
Interesting. But, I mean, do you advocate at all for medicine, then, in some cases, to help people get through the to bridge that gap?
Some people, certainly.
Really?
And we have those discussions. Now, not being a prescriber myself, I never say to someone, go on or don't. But there are people that I see that's an important part of the conversation, and so I arm them with questions to take to their prescriber.
It's interesting to hear that, and surprising, too, because, you know, if you talk to people who've been on antidepressants, and which is, what, about 98% of America, I feel, at this point, the side effects can be rough on you. You know, they're subtle, but they can be rough, right? So if you could find a way to get yourself out of, like, a depressive state, probably not the technical term, or is it? Is that close?
Yeah, you're in the ballpark
but,
there.
But yeah, if you could find your way to get out of that through therapy and just, you know, the right therapist, that's really kind of, that's a good step.
Absolutely. It's a no-brainer. I mean, imagine we said this about our culture, that most of the people with dental pain don't get help for it. And once they do get help for it, they suffer for 2 years first, and then the treatment they get's not evidence-based. Images of us walking around with our knuckles dragging on the ground would come to mind.
Yeah.
Yet those are that's exactly the case with mood disorders. The case.
I feel like I've seen, over the past few years especially, a different mentality surface about the acceptance of mental illness. People openly talking or kind of laughing at themselves, self-deprecating, you know, oh yeah, I have depression, you too. And they laugh about it, or they just admit to other people, hey, I've been through this. If you need help, come to me. People talking about this stuff. In some ways, I think social media has helped some people. I mean, it's obviously hurt certain people because there's online bullying and such, but
we need to kill the word normal. Kill it.
Did I say normal?
It doesn't serve a function. It's totally untrue.
Did I say it?
No.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if I did.
I'm speaking to what you think, what you're seeing is maybe a positive shifting.
Yeah.
The word normal doesn't really, it's not pregnancy. You know, you are, you aren't. Wellness exists on a continuum and multiple continuums. So it's physical wellness, relationship wellness, vocational wellness, so for some people, spiritual wellness, mood, how your moods are doing. All this exists on a continuum. And whenever the quality of a person's life starts to be not what they want it to be, mm-hmm. it's a no-brainer to think, are there experts that can help me with this? We do that with our cars, our teeth, our kids learning, but we don't do it with our mental health sometimes.
I think there's probably an embarrassment factor for a lot of people. Oh, God, I can't handle this. You get people out there, you know, the number one thing I usually hear from someone who either doesn't believe depression is real or thinks mental illness is just someone looking for attention is this whole idea of just, we'll just go out and stop being so miserable. And it's not that easy.
Well, it's part of that normal, abnormal thing. Who wants to be in that group of weak, complaining babies who are self-indulgent and have had bad mommy and daddy experiences? I mean, nobody wants to be cast in that group. And that's why that whole bifurcation is just so unhelpful.
What do you think? Have you heard any reasons for people who say, I was going to go, but I thought about going, but I didn't want to because is it just purely a stigma that they feel like they're going to get? Or are there people out there like, I don't want people to know that I have this, or I'm better off not being diagnosed? You know, I know a while back there were people afraid they're going to lose their guns if they become diagnosed with depression. Like, you know, these are, you know, I don't know if they're rational or irrational fears, but they're fears some people have.
Yeah, there's a lot of people leading lives of silent desperation, like Thoreau put it, and worried that they're the only ones doing it. And actually, it's an epidemic of folks who are feeling that way. And we just have to try to stop this stigma. And also misperceptions about the costs involved and the inconveniences involved and how long it takes.
So, again, we're talking to Dr. David Pometer. You're a psychology professor at Marywood University. There are screenings, free screenings for depression going on Thursday. There's two locations. One's in your German office, correct?
Right, Center's German office, yes.
And also in Scranton, and that's at what, the
Psychological Services Center in the McGowan Building.
I'm guessing you're speaking to a specific group of people. However, are there people out there who maybe should consider taking you up on this offer of these free screenings who may not think, like, is there someone out there who's like, I feel great, I don't think anything's wrong with me? Should they then still just do it just to see? Or
I think if anybody's in doubt, that's enough reason to take the 10 or 15 minutes it takes to
do it. That's all it is, okay.
And it's no cost, and it's anonymous. Some people choose for it to be longer, and they can take that choice. But if someone just wants to get in and out of their boom, bam, thank you, ma'am. It's 10 to 15 minutes.
Yeah, I would think you'd want to spend more time, though. You wouldn't want to rush through this thing. Unless you were sneaking away from work or something and you had to get back.
You could, absolutely. Sometimes we offer students extra credit, and they'll tend to take that approach, come in and be very quick about it. But I think
so you'll be like, hey, if you come in for a screening?
Yeah, I do that with all my students, and they get, so some of them will be really quick. But I think if an adult was coming in, they might want to take more time.
Gotcha. Kyle Mack is producing in there. He had a question.
Yeah, I want to pick your brain so much. If you could just hang out for the rest of the day and we'll go talk somewhere. I'm dealing with this. I'm like in the middle of the weirdest depression, anxiety thing ever. And for me, depression is just, it's being really tired all the time. I don't know how other people experience this, but I'm not. Sometimes I feel like I want to cry. And that's random, but it's just a tired feeling. And they keep throwing these medicines at me that don't really take that away. And I'm just so curious about this cognitive therapy, about how can that help with that, with this feeling of like, it's just like I can't get off the couch. My body's so heavy. I don't know why I'm like this. You know what I mean?
100% of people who suffer from depression and anxiety, assuming they don't also suffer from things like dementia, should have a crack at cognitive behavioral therapy. It's very structured. Actually, I would hope by the time my kids are my age, it's just taught universally in public schools. It's just good mental health practice. It's the best science we know on how to adjust thinking and behavior to optimize mood. Some of us will actually weave in things from positive psychology, which is a related science on how to feel more joy and experience more meaning in life.
Interesting. You know, I want to take a break here. Can you hang out for one more second?
Because
is it possible to kind of go through like kind of what cognitive therapy is?
I can say more about that.
Yeah,
sure.
Because I have some questions. I'm wondering if it's how I dealt with being growing up in a negative household, sometimes negative points of view, and just dealing with negativity as a whole. Because I kind of retrain my brain. I want to see if it's the same thing. Because maybe I leave this place and get a job as a therapist somewhere. Probably not. But let's take a quick break again. Before we do, it's a National Depression Screening Day. It's Thursday, the 11th of October. It's a couple days away. We're talking to Dr. David Palmiter, psychology professor over at Marywood University. And again, the locations for this, and what are the times also?
At the Wright Center in German, it's going to be from 9:30 to 7. At the clinic at Marywood, it's going to be from 10 to 6.
And all ages, just adults? Or
We do have adults and teens we're focusing on, but if someone wanted to bring in their kid, we'll accommodate that.
Okay. This year's National Depression Screening Day falls on Thursday, and we're here with Dr. David Palmiter, psychology professor. And are you heading up this whole free screening day for depression?
Dr. Matthew Schaefer and I are both doing. He's supervising the Marywood site, and I'm supervising the German site.
Between me and you and everyone. I say take credit. He didn't come in today. No. So he's supervising over in the German office at the Wright Center.
I am at the Wright Center, right?
And
he's
Wright Center.
He's at the Marywood Clinic.
We were talking a little bit before about cognitive behavioral therapy versus medicine, or in conjunction, or mostly without.
Sometimes it's in conjunction. You know, that's indicated.
Years ago, I kind of grew up in a house where it was everything. Like even to this day, I joke that like if I call my parents, they answer the phone. I go, hey, it's Jason. They go, what's wrong? Like immediately jump to a negative conclusion. Mm-hmm. I had a boss who I worked with who would call me out on it. Oh, you're being negative. Mm-hmm. So one day I was like, all right, I got to fix this. And on my own, I kind of did some research and I found this technique where no matter what it is, you just turn it around. So if you're like, oh, I got stuck at this light, you know, and you say, well, at least, you know, you just turn it around and go, well, at least the light's only 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. And you just continually do things like that. It's kind of like this concept where you just, for me at least, I just retrained my brain to stop seeing the negative and find the positive. Oh, grandma died. Well, she lived a long life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that kind of concept. Mm-hmm. And over time, it became second nature to me. And I kind of, is that this kind of what cognitive behavioral therapy is?
You're in the arena there. I mean, you think of depression as almost like a bad version of Invasion of the Body Snatchers, where it's like this alien force that's come in and attacks thinking. It convinces its victim of three things. Everything sucks, it's my fault, and it can't be changed. And you become kind of helpless and depressed, because that's how you think. So one of the cognitive parts of the cognitive behavioral therapy is doing what you just talked about. Sort of a version. What you were looking for is focusing on what you're grateful for, the good things. With depression, depression's a lying liar. The things it convinces its victims of are never true. And so one of the techniques we call thought testing is that to help a person to develop a method, an objective method for determining if a given thought, I suck, nobody likes me, the world is evil, whatever, doing an objective testing of whether that thought's true or not. And if it's not, substituting true thoughts that are uplifting. And then we get into more like the things you're doing. So we have things called coping thoughts. A person makes a list of true thoughts about themselves, the world, relationships, focuses on those. What do you do when you zipper up a pair of jeans that are so tight they hurt? You take them off and you swap them out. It's silly to see someone walking around and go, oh, these jeans hurt, ow, ow.
Yeah.
But that's what we do with our thoughts, or that's what depression has us do. So that's on the cognitive side,
yeah.
And also focusing on what people are grateful for. That which we pay attention to expands. And I think that's what you were just talking about.
Yeah, I mean, so someone comes in and just says, everyone hates me. And you stop, I'm guessing, and break it down and go, who's everyone that hates you? And sometimes, I mean, look, I've been in situations like this where I've had these conversations and people go, all right, why are you upset? And you're like, oh, because, you know, this everything's bad. And then you go, no, it's not. You know, this could have been stopped, and this is only a result of that. Like, things connect, and you can kind of see, oh, maybe this is something that, I hate to say, like, in your head, but it's in your head. It's like you're creating this bad experience. And if you think about it differently,
depression does. See, as I separate out, depression's no more a person than leukemia is somebody. You know, it's an attacking force. And I actually have people come up with a nickname for the depression so that they see it as an internal attacking agent that only wants their death. That's the end game of depression, is suicide. And so to name it, to appreciate how it attacks, and exact countermeasures that can cage the thing.
So you give them the nickname, or
the client does. The client.
So if I'm like, oh, Boris is being a pain today. So
right, exactly.
That's interesting.
Yeah, what's making Boris strong today? You know, what's he trying to convince you of?
I just made that up, by the way. I don't really have a friend named Boris, but
you know, you're exactly right, because when I was dealing, I'm dealing with a lot of stuff, but when I deal with it, it helps to think of it as like a physical being that I can put in a box, or I can say, you're wrong. You need to shut up. I'm going to get off the couch. And I've never been through this, but I always thought of it as like, if you ever saw the show Dexter, he has a dark passenger. And that's what I always considered it. You're like the dark version of me that doesn't want me to do anything.
And actually, I would say it's just a dark version. I wouldn't even say it's a dark version of you. And there's ways, I'm kind of distilling a lot of this into brief snippets of time, but there's ways to prove this to people through the therapy where it really isn't you. It's 100% not you. It's just this attacking force that's within the brain that attacks the real you.
This is fascinating. You know, it's interesting. I'll be honest. When I knew you were coming in, I expected you to come in and say, we're doing these free screenings, and here's the information, and ask you a couple questions. But you guys take a different approach than I expected. So it's good. For me, at least, it's cool to get surprised like that, just because it's a different... I mean, Kyle, have you heard about these techniques versus medicine? Because I know you've been open about your struggles.
Right, and that's why I love that you're having this conversation, because no, I've never heard of it. I actually was at my doctor, and I'm on a lot of medicine, and we were talking about getting me off them, because I just don't like it, because people tell me I'm different. I'm like stoic. I have no emotion. And I have emotion at the wrong times. It's weird. But this was never offered. They offered to electric shock therapy. They offered to do that. They offered to do something where you sit in a chair and they spin these high-powered magnets around your head. Like, they offer all kinds of crazy stuff, but no one's ever said, hey, let's just talk. And I think that might be... I don't understand how it's going to help, but it might. I don't know.
One of my favorite books for lay people about depression is titled Lost Connections. It's been a bestseller, but one of his... He goes into the sort of the way the culture has been misled about the nature of depression. And one of the things he stresses is that when relationships aren't going well, that can be a more substantive cause than this myth of chemical imbalance.
That's fascinating. What percentage of your colleagues would agree with you on this chemical imbalance thing?
100%.
Is it? So it's not something
that's... Who know the science, right?
Okay.
Yeah, right. So I've actually tested that. I mean, I couldn't believe it when I learned this myself, because I've been hearing that message so much.
Yeah, you hear that. It's just, you know, chemical imbalance. You hear that. So I was wondering, like, what percentage of people out there would be like, this is not the right approach. But so the people who believe in the science will believe in it.
Who believe there's no evidence of that. So it's a different thing to say a thing doesn't exist than to say there's no credible evidence for it. So there's no credible evidence for this notion that depression is caused by a chemical imbalance.
Not to change subjects, which I won't, but you don't need to explain this whole idea of evidence being necessary in order to make a case.
Mm-hmm.
We've been dealing with that for 3 weeks with the break of nothing. I mean, that's been our world here for a while. Mm-hmm. But again, if you are somebody who, even for a second, hears this and goes, yeah, it's probably not me. I don't think it's depression. I just need something different. You know, if you have that thought where you question it, and you go, maybe... You know, just even 1% of you, go to this. This is a free depression screening. It is Thursday again at the Wright Center in the German office. And what is, I'm sorry, the building is what for at Marywood?
McGowan Building.
McGowan Building at Marywood. It's the hours again are what?
10 to 6 at the McGowan Building and 9:30 to 7 in German.
All right.
And there's a phone number people can call if they have questions
too. What is that number?
It's 570-348-6269.
570-348-6269. Is that just for more information or is that just can you make an appointment to?
You could. That's the clinic number.
Okay. Right. Now, is that only, I'm not trying to take away from the day. Say someone wanted to come in. Like, I was like, you know, after work today, I'm driving around. I want to give you guys a call. Can I go in if I can't make it Thursday at any time? Can
yes.
you set up an appointment?
Okay. Yes.
So this is more of a putting a spotlight on what you offer on a regular basis?
Right. Well, the screening, we don't market on a regular basis, right. but we're willing to do it at any time. We're just trying to bring attention to all this needless suffering that goes on, provide a day where people can come and get a screen for free.
Look,
they don't even have to give their name.
It's funny. Somebody, Michael, just texted me. You guys talking about demonic possession. No, we're not. This isn't some sort of Halloween-themed show talking about demons. However, in some ways, I think it gets in there and... You know, I mean, I guess someone could call it their demon.
I use it as a metaphor sometimes, but right, this isn't about...
This isn't some sort of show that's supposed to be spooky. The scary part is so many people deal with these issues that it, you know... I mean, if that gets your attention, Michael, sure, that's what we're talking about. But we'll put this information up on Facebook at some point in time this morning. And can we put this interview up on the website? We can do that too, right? Yeah, I think we can. We'll make sure. Thank you for coming in. I really truly appreciate it. And I hope...
Thank you, Kyle, too.
Yeah, Dr. David Palmiter from Marywood University. Yeah, we'll get all this information up on the Facebook page, WILK News Radio. Thank you so much for coming
in. Sir.
Have a great day and good luck with...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Sanofi to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.